Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. It's a Victory Monday. It's 9 o'clock, so get used to this, because every Monday at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Chiefs contributor of SI.com, Joshua Briscoe, will join us. Josh, how are you on this gloomy, kind of chilly, good autumn day here on a Monday?
I'm fantastic, but I didn't have to start doing radio at 6 a.m. after a primetime game. And there is something that you guys must be able to tap into that I am I respect it a great deal, having put in many late hours and early hours in this turnaround. How are you doing?
I'm great, because victories help. That's like a
lose and you come in, it sucks.
You lose, yeah. It's a little gloomy, but you know, I'm twisted and sick in the head, and you know, I don't know what it is, but I have no issue getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and coming in here, because I even get up on the weekends now at like 6:30. I overslept, so I'm completely gone. I'm completely out of this whole world. So
good,
but no, we're good. We're good. We're doing fine. Everything's great. Welcome to this show. We'll do this every Monday. Boy, Sam Jackson really got everybody hard, I guess, before the game last night, didn't he?
Boy, did he?
Whoa, hello.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
In the morning.
Yeah, no doubt. No, but speaking of, a guy for the first 2 weeks that I thought got a lot of flack, you know, maybe well-deserved. Boy, did Nick Bolton show up in Atlanta last night.
Yeah, and I think you could hold all these narratives in your head relatively easily, right, where you could watch what happens in the first 2 weeks, and you can go, oh, boy, Nick Bolton is a straight-up liability in comforts at these moments. Also coming off of an entire preseason process he had missed, hurt so early in camp, you could see the rust, a questionable decision to have him play as much as he did in those first two games. That picture came together relatively clearly. Last night in Atlanta, you saw Nick Bolton do the things that he does really well and that he's always done really well. At the end of the game, you get a great push from Chiefs legends like Mike Pinnell and Leo Chanel, Mike Dana caving in an edge. You see in a moment like that, when the seas part for Nick Bolton, if he gets his hands on you, even I, as a person who has many times over asked, how much did you want to pay Nick Bolton exactly? He gets his hands on a Drake London, a Bijan Robinson. You expect him to get the job done there, and he did that last night. Well, so I do think that the flag was deserved, but last night was a great game.
Yeah, he really came out of it, too. It's funny when the noise starts chirping and everybody starts questioning, guys raise their level of play, but I don't think it was like that with Nick Bolton. I think he was finally healthy last night, and boy, showed us what we've expected out of Nick Bolton and why he's been such a valuable contributor to this defense. Against the run, against Bijan Robinson, he was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, and again, that's the stuff that he does well, that he's put in a position to be excellent in that role. You get Nick Bolton backpedaling or having to find his space in the zone and figure out how to either get in the way of a pass or actually haul one, and that's not his strength, and that's okay. He's not a perfect player. There are very, 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 very few perfect players in the history of the NFL. What you saw last night was Bolton healthier, in a good headspace, in a position to succeed, absolutely owning those moments. I am more than happy to give him credit for all of that, because you're right. In those big moments, if there's anything he's elite at, it's hands on you, you're going to the ground. And we saw that multiple occasions, of course, in the biggest moment last night as well. Huge credit to him.
It wasn't just him, though. This whole defense, man, like the bend but don't break philosophy is there. Yeah. They bent a lot. They never broke. They got to the quarterback. Best time of the year for them, you know, getting to the quarterback last night. Like defensively as a whole, they are kind of back to where they were for most of last season.
Yeah, and I don't know where you guys landed on the Chris Jones roughing call. I'm willing to split up my blame a little bit of, like, Chris Jones should probably know a little better. The ref should probably maybe stick to their guns a little better. And the NFL ruined all this for everybody, so I'm not really heated about that call. But I mention it because that turned an upcoming punt into an ongoing touchdown drive for the Falcons. You add in the pick that basically gives the Chiefs 3 points back in field goal range. It is a really good performance from the defense that, while you do end up with kind of these strange moments and the stuffy offense, I think we were in danger of not giving the defense enough credit for what they did last night. And you see Bijan Robinson averaging less than 2 yards a carry, while you do have those guys stepping up. You do have Kirk Cousins surviving in the pocket, but none of those killer strikes that can pick you apart on third and long or whatever it may be. Ultimately, you're absolutely right. I think this was a really nice day for a defense that's still learning a few things about itself, still proving a few things about itself. But by and large, I think you've got to feel optimistic.
Speaking of optimistic, it's 3 weeks. I don't want to use the term washed. I refuse to use that. But Travis Kelce, Is it now time to start maybe turning the panic meter on, or is this, again, way too early to tell and it's just using what you need to use to get by?
I'm also probably going to be one of the last guys off this particular train, because if you would have jumped at any point in the last 5 or 6 years, you'd feel incredibly foolish. I think what we're seeing is a pretty clear baton handoff that Rashee Rice is going to be the primary option. And then Mahomes, after the game last night, he talked about how Travis Kelce's got two or three guys on him throughout much of the game. I can't say that I saw a ton of triple covered Travis Kelce. I do think there's also a little bit of something to what is his role going to look like down the stretch in once the weather fully turns. Certainly playoff Travis Kelce has become a historic thing. He's also played a ton of snaps. So it's not like the Chiefs are just refusing to put him out there, or that he can't get his blocks anymore. He just hasn't gotten a lot of the targets. I think he's gotten a good portion of the attention. I'm not sure if what Mahomes said last night is 100% factual. I'm very aware of what's going on through these first 3 weeks for Kelce. I think I would need to be closer to the midseason mark to be entertaining any sort of washed conversation. I don't think we're there. But it is odd, and it's not great for an offense that has had a really hard time finding easy answers this year. Travis Kelce's usually an easy answer, and there have not been easy answers running through 87 through the first 3 weeks. I'm not panicking, but I'm definitely noting it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Josh Briscoe, editor of Chiefs on SI.com and our Chiefs contributor here on 96.5 The Fan. I look at the Travis Kelce situation and say, look, I would be upset, I'd be losing sleep if somebody wasn't picking up the ball and running with it, and Rashee Rice is take it over. I mean, this is why the Chiefs are on top all the time, because they find a way to go out there and fill in the gap before the gap is there that we can recognize. And they've known for a while they're going to have somebody need to replace him, and they've got that guy in Rashee Rice. So he's picking up the slack and then some.
Yes, again, I mentioned what's easy in this offense, what feels automatic. Rashee Rice is the answer to that. Another thing that I don't know how much you guys have talked about the last few weeks as the fates turn for the worse. This offense was supposed to have a totally different gear with Hollywood Brown that was eliminated one play into the preseason, and then ultimately we get the worst news for the rest of his regular season fate, and maybe we'll see him in the playoffs. But that's another thing where, and to your point about the Chiefs seeing where they need to have some redundancies and seeing where maybe the weapons do get a little thin and how they're going to adjust from that. Hollywood was a real investment, a one-year investment, but a real investment in this campaign in trying to keep this offense nice and lubricated, for lack of a better word. The cog's moving here, Dusty. Nothing like you said earlier about Samuel Jackson. But I'm gonna say that this is a group that should have had one more real weapon in place of Justin Watson getting a lot of those reps now. Rashee Rice, obviously enormous. Again, you want to talk about good luck and bad luck. I really thought for a good chunk of the offseason we weren't going to see Rashee Rice until midseason 2024, and things worked out okay in that regard. But an incredible start to the year for Rashee. Just, you'd like to see a second option be that level of consistent, and I still think there's a pretty good chance it ends up being Kelce down the stretch.
What do you look for this week when you go play a beat-up Chargers team that's missing, what, left tackle, right tackle, quarterback, wide receiver? It looks like it's another week of excuses for why the Chiefs are now going to be 4-0.
Yeah, is that all? I mean, the Chargers at this point, man, I didn't think that they were going to be terribly frisky this season, but I'm kind of buying the long-term Harbaugh-Herbert view. And right now, I mean, I guess maybe you said just like Harbaugh and J.K. Dobbins might just go ahead and put up an 18-13 win over the Chiefs in this game. I'm certainly not expecting it. It is a beaten-up team that has impressed me in ways so far, but I think this is largely going to be the fate of this Falcons game we're talking about. I think we're going to forget this Falcons game in a month or two. It's going to just sort of fade into the fuzz of, what was week three? Oh, God, yeah, they were in Atlanta against Kirk Cousins. I think you could see something similar happen as long as they handle their business against the Chargers. You can't fumble one of those games and then have it fade into the background, but you handle your business in Atlanta and then go to L.A. and take on a absolutely dilapidated Chargers team. That's got to be a win. It doesn't have to be pretty, and it seems like at this point the Chargers are playing so shorthanded that it absolutely has to be.
Which means this is the week Travis Kelce goes off, because he always seems to do that against the Chargers. So I guess go to the betting sites. I don't know. I'm done betting on him. But
we thought that going into this game that he was going to take off. So maybe it is the big lights of LA, right?
I mean, listen, if there's anything we've learned about Travis Kelce, he loves the lights. He loves LA. And he specifically does love punking the Los Angeles Chargers. He's loved punking them since they were the San Diego Chargers. But there's something to that. Although I will not give out any betting advice on Travis Kelce. Kelsey's line should be at this point, because I am just as concerned, at least just as confused as you guys. I will not put a dime on that prediction, but I do like it. I like it morally speaking.
There we go. All right, well, we'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks for being a part of the show, and welcome to 96.5 The Fan. I know that you've been doing your rounds and all that, so we look forward to next Monday having a 4-0 conversation, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, as long as I don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm very happy to talk to you guys every week about this time.
We'll move our new segment to 4 a.m. with you, Josh. We'll tape it and let you go back to sleep. Just
for
so you
guys,
can feel how it is.
It. I'll consider it just for you.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. Have a good rest of your day. Yes.
Listen to these two stats I just saw. This one comes from Matt McMullen of the Chiefs. Okay, mm-hmm. You realize KC, the defense, has held opponents to 28 or fewer points for 24 straight games now?
24
straight games they have held the opponent to 28 or fewer points.
Let's
listen to Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
And then in this 9-0 stretch that the Chiefs are on right now, they've won 9 straight, by the way, just for those scoring at home, right?
Yeah.
They've outscored
played 3 games.
Yeah, that's right. But they've outscored their opponent by 54 combined points over these 9 straight games, which is the smallest of any team in a 9-0 stretch in NFL history.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how many 9-0 stretches there are in NFL history. I'm sure more than we probably know. Probably a good amount. The Chiefs went 9-0 in 2003, right? So, there are teams that go 9-0, but the 54 combined points is the smallest margin of any team in NFL history over a 9-0 stretch. And so, look, they're just playing great football on defense right now. And as we get confused and worried about the offense, we're missing again what's going on defensively with this team.
I want to bring up a good point that Josh Briscoe made on the other side as we get back into this Chiefs game that was a successful win in Atlanta. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Atlanta gets out of the huddle. Cousins will be under center on fourth down and a yard to go. Long count. They give it off. Bashaun Robinson hit in the backfield. He goes down. Kansas City holds on downs again. Nick Bolton scrapes to the outside and makes the hit. And Kansas City defensively holds on downs, fourth down at the 6 and now the 13. And preserves a 22-17 lead at 51 seconds to go in the game.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you on a victory Monday. Chiefs are now 3-0.
Very good. Coming up at 9:35. So in this segment, you're going to have an opportunity to qualify to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card at the end of the week. Each day this week at 9:35, we'll play you a Chiefs highlight with the name of a player missing. If you know who that player is missing out of that highlight, be caller number 15, and you will qualify to win that $500 gift card, and that will be awarded at the end of the week. We'll take a qualifier every day, Monday through Friday, and and everybody who qualifies will have a chance to win that $500 gift card, so you have a 1 in 5 shot to get that gift card if you are a qualifier. And, of course, $500 at Hy-Vee goes a long way, especially today. It's gas point day at Hy-Vee. Chiefs scored, 22 points last night? Go spend $22 or more, get 22 cents off per gallon at Hy-Vee. So take advantage of that today.
In case you think we're being childish, which is most the case of the time,
that's fine.
This is the Sam Jackson cut.
And taking advantage of nights like this, where you play hard, hit hard, and rise up.
I think he says,
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
He could have fooled me. I swear he
said.
Taking advantage of nights like this, where you play hard, hit hard, and rise up.
He did say hit hard.
I've been waiting all day for Sunday night.
Okay. I thought he may have said something else.
I did too. Maybe we were wrong.
It's okay.
But the three of us all thought that in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought this was interesting of what Josh Briscoe just said to us on his weekly segment. You'll hear him every Monday at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty. And I thought passing the torch, I thought that was an interesting take about why maybe we're seeing Travis Kelce's numbers dwindle the way they have. And I brought up earlier on in the show that similarities to Jason Witten and where his career started to go, because he was really like Dallas's guy. Like, that's who Tony Romo threw to. I know he had other options as well in the offense, but like, that was their sure-handed, pure to the play of the game of their offense. It ran through Jason Witten. That's what he did. Once he got to like his 10th year in the league, the numbers started to go away from what they were, but his role changed as well. And I think that's the conversation with Travis Kelce we should have here. It's not the fact that Travis Kelce is washed or that Travis Kelce is not caring anymore, because those are not the takes you should use.
Did somebody have the not caring take?
He's more interested in doing other stuff. That's always going to be there. The take that you should have with Travis Kelce is one of two. One, maybe what Briscoe says, the torch has been passed from Rashee Rice to Travis Kelce, and now he's kind of been like, you know, hey, you go lead the offense. You're the younger, more talented, you know, option that we can throw the ball to. And we have seen that with the way Mahomes is finding Rashee Rice. Hell, he had 14 targets yesterday, 12 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. And the thing that's interesting about that is that Travis Kelce is not necessarily washed or done or mentally checked out. It's just that overnight or in a different season, his role is different. And with that being said, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go out there and give you the numbers that he had in the past, where he's got 7-8 catches, 10-11 targets, 113, 114 yards and a touchdown. No, no, no. That's Rashee Rice's role now. Now Travis Kelce's role is, you've got your 6-7 bread and butter plays with Patrick Mahomes that we know that you can convert almost in and out every time. Now, he had the play last night but got knocked out of his hands. Tough play. But the thing about Travis Kelce now moving forward, at least in my opinion, will be, okay, yes, there's going to be those games. And I'm not comparing him to LeBron James. I'm comparing their ages. LeBron James is no longer at a point where he needs to go out there and score 35 and have 10-10. LeBron can do that if you need him to. Mm-hmm. It happens 5 or 6 times a year in the NBA. But Travis Kelce's no longer that guy that needs to go out there and have 8 catches, 120 yards, and a touchdown. He can probably still do that, and he might do that.
And there may be a game where he does need to do that.
Right. There's going to be a game where somebody's going to be like, you know what? You're not throwing to Rashee Rice today. Anybody else is on the table. Oh, what's that? Flip the page back to 2019 and go to the Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes year where Travis Kelce had 1,300 yards or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and you have that sort of gameplay. That's fine. Because you don't need Travis Kelce to do this week in, week in, week in, week in, week out. He just needs to be that guy that can be trusted in the certain situations. And maybe that's right what Briscoe says, that now Rashee Rice is that guy that gets the targets and all the yards.
And that's fine. He's the young guy. He's the guy that's going to be your future. Travis Kelce's more of your past than he is your future. And quite honestly, Rashee Rice is your present. And Travis Kelce is still more of your past than he is your present or your future. And that's a big reason why this organization has found a way to stay on top of the NFL. They know how to replace players without truly replacing that player. They never bring in a guy the year they need him to be that star player. They bring them in a year early, or they bring him in 2 years early. Rashee Rice came in last year. They didn't really need him last year to be that big play wide receiver. But as the season, you know, kind of unfolded in front of us, he started to get more playing time. He started to get better, and his production at the end of last season and the ability to play down the stretch and in the postseason has gotten him ready for where he is today, and that's to be the offensive leader of this team as Travis Kelce kind of takes a step backwards, if you will, from a production standpoint. So they figured it out a year ago. They brought in Rashee Rice, and he was going to be the guy that they were going to pass this torch to on offense, and it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately. It just takes some time, and Rashee Rice grew into that position, which is why I've been so adamant about the Royals now over these last 6 games of the season. I don't need to see Tommy Pham. I don't need to see Rex Grossman. I don't need to see, you know, this Frazier guy or any of these vagabond veterans that they brought in. Let your quote-unquote young guys play, the guys that are going to be potentially on your team next year, to get them this kind of experience. That's what happened with Rashee Rice last year. Got the experience when the wide receiver position went to hell in a handbasket, grew from getting that experience, played in big-time games, came up big in big-time games, and now you hit the ground running here in 2024. I think looking back at all the evidence, you should be like, yeah, we probably should have seen that coming with Rashee Rice. And we told you that in training camp. He was going to be the focal point. So this isn't something that should be new to a lot of people. This should be the coronation, if you will, of what we were saying during training camp, that he was going to be the number one weapon. And if you need Travis Kelce, much like any steady athlete over the course of time, he'll be there when you need him. They just haven't needed him yet.
And I think that's fine. I was hell-bent on the year when we started. I said, hey, look, I don't think he's going to look like he's, you know, dragging ass out there. I just think that you're not going to see the same role. It's like, you know, take a Royals analogy here. Look at Michael Wacha, right? Michael Wacha, Cardinals organization, was their ace for about 4 or 5 years. Now he's your good, solid fourth guy in your rotation with veteran leadership when you go to the playoffs.
And he's cashing in the offseason.
No doubt about it. Yeah. He's going, hey, you know what you need me? You need me to be a blood stopper. You need me to be a playoff starter. We just talked to Vern at 8:30, and even he said, depending on what they do Sunday with Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha's getting game one ball in the playoffs, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Just like Travis Kelce might have 700 receiving yards total this year.
And then
Get to the playoffs, he might have 3 touchdowns in one game. Right. Like, oh, there it is.
There it is. That's when you need him. You need him to step it up in the postseason. You don't really need Travis Kelce at this point in time, as long as Rashee Rice continues to produce, Xavier Henry continues to produce, Carson Steele continues to produce. I mean, think about this again. We're dealing with Carson Steele as our starting running back right now, and this team is 3-0, right? Mm-hmm. They've switched out the left tackle all 3 games, basically. Team is 3-0. Travis Kelce is 69 yards receiving, nice, 3-0. You know, Hollywood Brown, nowhere to be found because he got hurt on the first play of the preseason, 3-0. Bolton didn't have 2 good first games, came up big yesterday, 3-0. What I'm getting at is this is such a damn good football team. It's not just reliant on one player to be there. A lot of teams in a lot of sports, you take away their number one weapon, a.k.a. Travis Kelce, and the team disappears. They can't function. They can't figure it out. This team finds ways. They don't find ways. They've designed ways. They have ways ready to go. They're ready to attack because they knew this was going to be the case. They're always one step ahead of everybody else.
Week 3, and the leading wide receiver in yards is Nico Collins, 338. Want to guess who's second?
Rashee Rice.
That's right.
Well, he's got to have close to 300. Yeah.
288, and 189 of those are after the catch.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
Leads the league in yards after the catch.
That I didn't expect from him this year.
Oh, really?
To lead the league in yak?
No. I mean, he's so fast after he catches that ball, man.
Well, he also can just take a tackle and just, like, brush it off.
I know. He's fast. He's strong. He's everything you want in a wide receiver right now.
He is, in fact, the next closest receiver when it comes to yak is 43 yards behind. It's Chris Godwin. All the other candidates behind him are running backs, tight ends. Which makes sense. But yeah, I mean, like, that's what it is, man. Like, that's where this team is right now. Yeah. It's with Rashee Rice being your leader on the offensive side. Wanya Morris played pretty well at left tackle, I thought, yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was not sacked once. I know that they were playing in a dome, but his jersey stayed pretty clean for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to really, you know, roll outside the pocket much. He was able to kind of stand in the pocket, find his guys, which is why he was able to target Rashee Rice 14 times for 12 catches. 110 yards and a touchdown, and kind of liked what I saw, what they were trying to do with Xavier Worthy. Would have liked to have seen a little bit more, though, if we can pick out negatives as well. But I thought Wanya Morris was great to give it a, you know, other side of the sandwich. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more Xavier Worthy plays. There was a couple.
Yeah, you'd like to see more. You like that speed when he catches the ball, how lightning fast he is. And, you know, so, yeah, you'd like to see it work more into the offense a little bit. But I think teams are ready for Xavier Worthy. Like, the Ravens clearly weren't. We knew that on opening night. Nobody was ready for him. Now I think teams may be a little bit more ready for Xavier Worthy. Maybe this is the week he gets into the game plan. This game coming up on Sunday, and I know we've already flipped the page, right, because this one's done. We're already looking forward to, like, this could be the coming out party week for Travis Kelce, maybe even more so for Xavier Worthy. Like, you're a beat up team in LA right now, the Chargers. Go out there and, you know, just make them stay a beat up team, right? Mm-hmm. Go have some fun out in LA this weekend and go figure out ways to, I don't know, go out there and embarrass them, have some fun, get some kind of swag back on your offense in a way you haven't had in the last couple of weeks. Travis involved, Worthy involved, that kind of stuff. Try to put up your 30 points and go after roster, go after the Chargers and keep a losing team losing. They got beat by Pittsburgh yesterday, right? Yeah. They're a team that is banged up and coming off a devastating loss to the Steelers. Go out there and crush them. Go out there and crush them. Crush their souls.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy. If I said Xavier Henry, I'm sorry. That just goes back to the old KU days. Yeah,
Xavier Henry. Yeah.
No, Xavier Worthy, so thank you, 832, for being a Richard. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
But no, I mean, I would like to see that, because I know that Mac was talking about this earlier, that the way that you can beat these new style defenses, heavy, powerful runners. And when you're geared up to tackle a
back
guy,
to a 3 yard of cloud of dust in the NFL.
And when you're trying to stop somebody like Carson Steele, or maybe a guy in the next few games, like a guy like Kareem Hunt, who we haven't even talked to, could be that guy that could, you know, add a little bit of a spark, yeah, because they like to throw it out to the running backs a little bit. You mix in a guy like Xavier Worthy back there as well that comes with that blitzing speed. I mean, you could really get people guessing. I think that's the best part about this Chiefs offense, is that there's a lot of people that don't want to believe they're running with Carson Steele. That's why he's getting 4 or 5 yards a carry, because they're just like, okay, well, we're just going to let Pat Mahomes beat us. Well, when you keep doing that, that's when it's going to happen. That's when you're going to get those over the tops. I'm still waiting every single week on the edge of my couch for Xavier Worthy to just fly down the sideline and Mahomes hit it. We almost saw it, but obviously there was an interception thrown on the underthrow to that. Last time it happened.
Yeah, that was the one to Worthy where he underthrew it into the end zone. And you're like, damn, like Worthy was wide open. Just leave. Like, that was a really bad pass by Patrick Mahomes. CDOT had a tweet yesterday: in 36 regular season games since out Tyreek Hill, he has 30 interceptions now. I mean, take what you want with that, whether that's just him fooling around and trying to figure some things out. Because in the postseason, Patrick Mahomes has been pretty damn good. And again, that's what matters. I still think there's a lot of us that are putting way too much stock into the regular season as to what this team is doing. The regular season is not about going out there and being at your best. It's figuring out how to get to be your best when the postseason arrives. And that's something that the Chiefs have done pretty regularly under Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They use the regular season. They figure out what they do best. And then January comes and they take everything that they believe that they do best and they utilize that in the postseason. And that's why they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions. And so if you're taking chances and you're you know, involved in opportunities that you think to yourself, what are they doing that for? Just always have in the back of your mind, they're seeing what they have, if this is going to work in the postseason, because that's what they're gearing up for. Everything they're doing in these regular season games is to fine tune for what they're doing in the postseason. They want to win as many as possible, obviously, but if they stumble or lose a game, it's not the end of the world. If somebody doesn't look great in September, it's not the end of the world, because it doesn't matter until January, and they have a knack for turning it on. Big-time players play big in big-time games, and the Chiefs have done that over the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cultural shock to the fan base. Imagine what it is to Patrick Mahomes. Like, in a live game, be like, oh, man, a couple years ago, Trav has that.
Because
a lot of people say, oh, did you see him arguing on the sideline? I don't know if they were arguing. I think it was a aggressive conversation.
You can't even talk on the sidelines now and everybody thinks you're fighting with somebody.
No, CeeDee Lamb was fighting with Dak Prescott. That's a fact.
Well, okay, yeah.
I saw that with my own eyes. Like, they were arguing, but no, you're right. Like
the Chris Jones thing last year where he slammed the tablet or whatever it was and was yelling at the defensive line coach as a Joe Cullen or something. And Josh is like, that happens about 3 or 4 times a game. like that's commonplace. The one time the camera catches it, oh my God. And it's also competitors. Like if you've never reacted that way in your line of work, or you had a moment like that, that's competitiveness. That's the juices flowing. Like, you want to be your best. And sometimes it's going to carry over in a situation like that. It doesn't mean they hate each other. It doesn't mean they're fighting. It doesn't mean they disagree. They're just having a moment on the sidelines. And that's okay. I don't know why everybody gets so worked up over that kind of stuff. It just boggles my mind. Just see them fighting. They're grown men filled with testosterone, and they're in the middle of a football game where they're kicking their ass. Their ass is getting kicked. They're beating each other up. Like, there's going to be emotional explosions on the sideline. It happens. I'd be more concerned if my players were just sitting there not caring.
Wait, Karen?
Karen, yeah. Oh. Karen Van Noy. He was playing yesterday.
How's his eye?
He's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
I think this is kind of funny. Maybe we should, like, carry around yellow flags. Because the text line says, what's a good comeback to give people when they say the Chiefs only win because the refs throw a flag at them?
That's good. I like that.
But, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
No comment.
Because the ref tried to keep Atlanta alive for as long as possible last night.
Right.
Well, my brother had a good comeback to some of our haters in our fantasy football league last night. Classic, Chiefs getting the call. And then I was like, well, they've had two bad calls that called against them since you'd sent this text. You know, obviously the hands to the face and that terrible PI against McDuffie.
Right.
And he goes, oh, well, it's makeup calls. And my brother texts back, well, what are they making up? I thought we had the refs in our pockets. I mean, that's the comeback.
Yeah.
What are they making up? If we have the refs in our pockets, there's no makeup calls.
Unless you missed the Brian Cook one. I mean, other than that, you could see. But, I mean, look, my wife is sitting there last night, and she's, like, preparing for this team to lose, which, again, are you just born today, Jen? Like, they don't lose games, right? And she goes, well, if we lose, it's the ref. I mean, it's not the ref's fault, okay? Like, people who blame the refs or blame the umpires, you're a loser. There are way many more ways to go out there and win a football game. She started, oh, the refs. I go, no. You had two opportunities where you kicked field goals. You didn't score touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes threw an interception on a 17-play drive. There were times you didn't capitalize when you could have capitalized. Travis Kelce getting the ball knocked out, Bates at the end there. Like moments like that, you've got to take care of the referees are not the reason you win or lose a football game. People got to get that out of their language, man.
That's the thing. You can call the flag, but they still have to execute the actual play afterwards. It happens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you know what? Atlanta didn't. They had an opportunity on multiple occasions to execute and score a touchdown. They had third and goal from the 6-yard line twice and didn't score.
That's right.
And if they would have kicked the field goal there and then kicked the field goal, they win that football game. So yeah, take points, too.
Every week you get to see somebody complain about the refs in the Kansas City. That's just what happens.
It's just ad nauseum. Like, God, give it a rest. Watch the game and understand what's going on. And stop blaming officials all the time.
Yeah. Somebody says, I just said the refs are 3-0. I really don't care. Somebody said, you called your wife a loser? That's good to his wife. You're a loser because you blame the refs.
Yeah, well, you do. You blame the refs. You're a loser. Like these KU basketball fans. Oh, my God, the refs. You were 4 of 19 from the 3-point line. That's why you lost. Well, I mean.
Did Mahomes hurt? You said you put in our page, Mahomes hurt his knee at the end of the game?
Yeah, when he's trying to take a knee. Yeah.
That weird knee at the end of the game.
Oh,
he's trying to take a knee, and he's like moving around, and then he goes his cleat got stuck in the turf as he's trying to take a knee, and he was getting up limping the whole rest of the...
He said he was fine afterwards. Yeah. Who knows? He's on with Carrington, I'm sure, at some point today, and we can get to the bottom of that, but he'll be all right. He looked all right at the end, but like, by God, like that grass is just there, like grabbing people.
There's an anniversary and there's a birthday. I'll bring them up on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, and this is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Congratulations to Paul in Raytown.
I don't know. He's got a 913. I don't know where he is.
No idea.
But, he qualified for our first time today to win that $500 Hy-Vee gift card each day this week at about 9:35 or so. We'll play a highlight with a missing chief. If you know who that chief is that's missing, you will be caller number 15 and qualify for the $500 Hy-Vee gift card that we will give away on Friday. So stay tuned all week long for that.
Shout out, Paul. You hung up before I could even speak from the 785.
Well, you weren't caller 15.
I don't know. I don't know how these games
work. Number one, you're number two, caller number three, you're caller number four.
We're not having a conversation
with you, man.
I don't got time.
Hey, how's your day going? Pretty good.
Exactly.
Congratulations, you're caller 11.
See you later.
You don't want to know what shirt I'm wearing? Bye.
Nope. Sorry, you're caller 11. Nope, you're caller 12. Hey, you're caller 15. Paul, way to go. You're caller 15. Congratulations. Like, Mac ain't back here, man, just having conversations.
$500 to Hy-Vee, man. That's
come
like,
on, yeah.
That's like 40 visits on Thursday to get some steak.
It's fantastic. Yeah, exactly.
Put it on my card. Put it on my card.
You can do some damage with that, let me tell you. So
no doubt about it.
I mean, maybe you wanted to talk to Mac, call him now. Maybe he'll have a conversation with you.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. People want to talk to me. It makes sense.
You were so wrong about your prediction on Sunday.
Yeah, that's probably what he wanted to tell you. Do you remember when you picked Atlanta to win?
So do you think that if you did get it right, you would have like been gloating that you got it right?
Well, that's what sucked at the end of the game last night when like it's getting close or whatever. In the back of my head, I'm like, this kind of... Like, obviously, you never want to pick the Chiefs because you don't want them to lose. But then I was like, this kind of sucks because, like, there's like a slight positive for me, but like, I don't care. Like I wanted to be wrong. I'm glad I was wrong.
Good. Yes. Unlike some of these, you know, Royals fans that are coming out of the hilltops saying, see, I told you I was right. You're not right about anything. They're still a postseason team.
Damn
until
right.
They're not.
We teased it. There's a birthday and an anniversary on this day. Well, I guess there's two birthdays. Today would have been Marty Schottenheimer's birthday as well.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay.
Well, I guess it still is his birthday.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, 75 years old today.
Okay. Wow. And, you know, he looks great for 75. My dad's age, too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which is wild. I don't need to hear Jason Garrett talk about Bruce Springsteen ever again.
I don't need to hear Jason Garrett talk.
He was cringeworthy last night doing that thing about Bruce Springsteen, man.
Yeah.
I mean, almost as bad as Nags doing that dad dance after that Super Bowl win a couple years ago.
Well, you might get a lot of Bruce Springsteen talk next week because Dallas, or this week,
Dallas is in
the Meadowlands.
Yeah, that's right. Big, big weekend for Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen over 100 Springsteen shows. It was cringeworthy.
Must be nice.
They always say football coaches don't have time to do anything. This guy's taken in 100 Bruce Springsteen concerts.
Jeez.
Good for him.
Seriously.
I took in one, and I don't think I need to go to another one. I would, but I don't think I need to go again.
Really?
It was just, everything was perfect.
Okay.
I went with my father. I watched him almost cry. I enjoy the music. He's getting older.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, you're good to go. I understand that. Yeah, absolutely. No, I saw him for the Rising Tour. That's the only time I've seen Bruce, and it was a great show.
Absolutely.
And I'll never forget being at that concert at Kemper. It was really bizarre because, you know, they had like I guess it was after the show. Everybody's like, he played all this stuff from the Rising album. The concert was called The Rising. You should have known going in, like, get the album, listen to it, you know, not that I'm some, you know, music snob or anything, but like, you knew what the concert was going to be about. If you didn't prepare yourself, that's on you.
Right. Man, 75 years old. What a life.
Yeah.
What's the chance Mac picks the Chargers to win on Sunday? That'll come from Carrington.
That'll be Carrington, yes.
Yeah, that's
Charger
dot.
Charger dot over there. Should we get to the brioche of the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, good take.
We get to the brioche of the weekend. We are here on Fesco and Dusty. It is brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Boys, which one of you wants to go first for your brioche of the weekend?
Bob?
All right, I'll go first. I'm going to go with Steve Spagnuolo. Chiefs defense played great, man. You held Bijan Robinson to his second fewest rush yards in a game in his entire career. You've had, 28 straight games where you have held the opponent to 14 or fewer points. And so Steve Spagnuolo, you get all the credit in the world, my friend, the way you're coordinating the hell out of this defense, coming up with big plays. It's just been absolutely phenomenal to watch. So the Kansas City Chiefs defensive coordinator gets my brioche of the weekend.
Love that. Craig brioche.
Yeah.
For me, give me Malik Nabers, man. He is him. First player in NFL history with at least 20 receptions and 3 touchdowns in his first 3 career games. Nabers' 23 receptions tied with Anquan Boldin for the second most receptions by a player in their first 3 games, only Puka Nacua with more. And at 21 years and 56 days old, Nabers is now the youngest wide receiver in NFL history with 2 touchdown receptions in a game, surpassing Mike Evans.
Yeah, he was fantastic yesterday.
Wow,
Daniel Jones looked good. My dad's texting me Leak all afternoon.
Leak.
I'm like, dude, 75, you're texting me Leak.
I love that. Maybe Malik Nabers can make Daniel Jones better. You never know.
He could. And I said, Nabers is pretty good, to which he responded, they call him Leak on the app.
Well, put that in your pipe and smoke it, son.
That's exactly what it was. Yes.
The second part of that conversation was, did I ever catch you guys?
I did not.
Thank God.
No.
My brioche of the weekend goes to Romo Dunze. The guy balled this weekend. He had 11 targets, 6 receptions, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Absolutely lit the world on fire for Chicago. Now, I know that they did not win the game, but that is part of the combination that we need to see evolve. Caleb Williams had 363 yards passing. He did have a fumble. He did have 2 interceptions, but he had 2 touchdowns. And if I'm a Chicago Bears fan, that was the first time this year that you're finally starting to see the future of your franchise actually be what you want him to be. He was, you know, risky. He showed those signs of talent. And if he's got Roma Dunze, if Roma Dunze's figured out where he needs to be and what he needs to do, and we can see more of this moving forward, then I think you will see the development of Caleb Williams, just like if Malik Nabers is this guy, you might see a little bit more out of Daniel Jones than maybe we've seen in the past.
And then you'll see at the end of the season, everybody go, damn, Daniel Jones is actually pretty good, right? Like, you get him some talent to work with, maybe he will be. I don't know. Still a work in progress. Mm. He still has a track record of not being very good, but he also has a track record of not having any real help around him. So I'd be interested to see how they kind of pick up the pieces from that Browns win and carry that into Thursday night. They got, I mean, a reeling Dallas team right now, right? It's got to be. I mean, you're sitting at 1-2 right now. You got, you know, motorboated by New Orleans, and then you were almost motorboated again yesterday by Baltimore, who best uniforms of the day were Baltimore Ravens. Ooh, and those.
Yes. Those were slick.
Oh, my God. They look so good, right? And so Dallas, you know, they're down 28-6 or whatever it is with like 9 minutes to go. Nice little comeback at the end to kind of make that thing close. Baltimore gags games away with the best of them. But, you know, they're still sitting at 1-2 right now, and I'm sure everybody in Big D is wondering when Mike McCarthy is going to get his walking papers and Bill Belichick is going to get hired.
Well, two Monday night games tonight. Buffalo-Jacksonville started off. Obviously, we're taking Buffalo in that game. We don't really have to worry about Jacksonville, right? They would, what, lose 8 straight.
Do we have any chance for Jacksonville? Are we just out?
Sure.
They're done?
I mean, if Josh Allen doesn't play.
Yeah, there's always a which Josh Allen. There's always a chance.
Well, he goes, I think, by a different name now.
I just think, I don't know if we're, I think we're thinking maybe the Jags are like bottom 5. I think maybe they're more like bottom half. I don't think they're atrocious.
Yeah, we'll find out in Bob's bottom feeders later in the week.
Absolutely.
And then the other game, Cincinnati-Washington. I think this is just, we're going to see. Maybe that these are the other two teams in the AFC that are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, because I don't think it's Houston after the way they got blown out against Minnesota. They played a close one against Indianapolis earlier in this year. Indianapolis seems to be completely lost at quarterback. Thought Anthony Richardson would be much better. And then now Cincinnati, there's no more excuses. You have everybody back. Your roster's officially there. T. Higgins on the outside with Jamar Chase. Maybe you missed Joe Mixon more than you thought. I don't know. I just know that.
That may be a big loss for them, man. Like, I mean, really?
It was. It seemed like it could be a big loss for, you know, the Houston Texans. They didn't have Joe Mixon this week. They had to use Cam Akers, and they didn't win the game.
They got crushed.
Well, Sam Darnold has officially found out who Justin Jefferson is.
That's right.
And that's a good thing to find.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Sirianni was bailed out with that win. Absolutely. We were trying to watch Philadelphia just absolutely wither away, and somehow Saquon Barkley just became a man among the people in that game.
23 years ago, to pay off your tease a little bit, Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Tom Brady came into a game.
That's right.
And now he's calling games on TV. How'd that career go, Tom?
Happy birthday to Bruce Springsteen. Happy anniversary to Tom Brady, who would change the NFL forever. Go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It is Simply Cool to Care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind. Coming up on the other side, it's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.